Sorry, but Bayern said that they want to go to the Final Four. If you want to go to the Final
That's
Four,
true.
You need to get wins away, not just home. Home you wins are, doesn't cut it.
You are correct. What's up, EuroLeague fans? Welcome back to your weekly podcast on YouTube, EuroLeague and Friends. My name is Milena Martin. I'm from Madrid, Spain, and I am one of the 9 contributors of this show. We're from 9 different countries that host EuroLeague teams, and we're here to talk about what's going on in the Turkish Airlines EuroLeague, the competition we love the most, but also some behind-the-scenes information. So let me introduce my co-host from Istanbul, Turkey, Denise. What's up?
I'm good, Milena. Nice to see you. I was about to say nice to meet you. Sorry. No, nice to see you. It's been great. You know, games are good. All good. Nice to see you all here.
From Munich, Germany, Lisa, what's up?
What's up, girls? Yeah, I'm currently in Monaco in my random hotel shooting something here today with an athlete way off, like way out of the basketball world. Very excited. But yeah, I missed the game. I missed the Bayern game. How cool would that have been? But anyways, now we're on.
And from Athens, Greece, Vasiliki. How are you, Vasiliki?
Hello, girls. I'm good to be back here with you all. I think we have many, many interesting topics to discuss about because EuroLeague has been going wild in all aspects on and off the court lately. So yeah, we have a lot to talk about.
But first, we need to talk about him. Monday, Giannis Dima died. He took his life with 32 years old. And we're still so sad and so frustrated. Some of us, we would like to send all our love to the family, friends, and of course, his son. I can't imagine how lonely and how desperate he felt. And well, I want to make sure that if you are watching us and you feel the same, please, you need to know that there is a way out. And please talk with somebody, and this will help you a lot. And I can promise you that all you've been going through is going to end someday. So we want to remember Giannis as the great basketball player he was. As you all know, he played in Olympiacos, Baskonia, Kazan, Hinki. And how important mental health is not only for athletes, but for everyone, girls.
Of course, well, my opinion, everybody should talk, should get help. If they want to be loud, everybody should talk to their friends, family. If they don't have no one else around, they should go to the medical centers and then try to get help. We're in Europe, so I know nothing is so easy, but life is, we only have one life and we only have one of ourselves. So of course it's very sad, but we should be careful in each other's lives and each other's souls. And when we see something, when we see a red flag from our friend, from a member of the family, we should talk to them as well.
Giannis, rest in peace. Would like to talk about one of his best loves, that is basketball. So let's talk about the EuroLeague. Let's talk about the games. And we got a new record breaker that is called Kendrick Nunn. Vasiliki, insane his performance. I mean, what do you think about this?
Yeah, I would also like to share my condolences with Giannis Dima family. Was a tragedy and a reality check for every one of us and all the fans, because sometimes we get so caught up in the game and all the exciting things and we avoid to talk about the real problems that are out there, and they're out there, and athletes are no exception. They all go through struggles. So as Kostas Papanikolaou said, no one is untouchable. It doesn't matter how successful you are in your work industry, how much money you make. You don't know what's happening behind closed doors. So yeah, I hope all your like teams have psychologists and players can turn to you there, and everybody else, as you girl said. But let's talk about something more positive now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As you said, Milena, Kendrick Nunn had one of those nights, a stellar performance. He had 7 made threes in a quarter, which is a new EuroLeague record. He had 8 threes at the end of the game, which is a career high for him, alongside with 39 points, also a career high. He surpassed his 29 points he scored 2 weeks ago against Barcelona. Yes, Lisa?
And from a German point of view, I'm very happy that he didn't continue scoring, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, because, yeah, Andy Obst, I think, might broke some sweat there. Yeah.
Definitely. And the victim was Milan.
Yeah, and the victim was Milan. Panathinaikos needed a good game, a good win. They had 4 losses in the past 5 games before this one. So they needed to get some rhythm back. The Oaka was packed because Panathinaikos fans have been supporting the team no matter what this season. No one has lost faith. Most importantly, Evgeny Ataman hasn't lost faith in his players and his confidence in the team. Kendrick Nunn was superb, but it wasn't just offense. Like, Panathinaikos played some good defense that reminded everybody how they used to play last year when they went to win the championship. So I think that was a very important win. But we have to see if they can continue like that, because in this EuroLeague, you never know.
Well, Siniki, I have a question for you. I think in Panathinaikos, there's a player, Jerian Grant, that I think is not getting the value that he should get, right?
Yeah.
Recently.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
That's true. That's 100% true. And from last year, he was like the X factor of Panathinaikos, because all the flowers were given to Kostas Loukas and Kendrick Nunn, because they used to do the scoring, or
the Matthias
Lesor, who was fighting on his own at the center position mostly. And Jerian Grant was the silent killer. He's the one who always delivers on the defensive end. He is dishing assists, but he's not getting his flowers. He's not like the most popular or like the star of the team, but he's been substantial to Panathinaikos' success from last year.
Giving him his flowers now.
Yeah, we are. Jerian, if you're watching us, we are all with you.
We just like you. Monique.
Yeah, we will continue talking about the Greek teams, but let me talk about the Spanish teams. Oh my God, the three of them won this time finally, and Barcelona beat Fenerbahce. But before the game, Sharunas Jasikevicius received an outstanding ovation.
That's
was
cool.
The first time he returned to the Palau since leaving the bench at the end of 2023. And as you know, he led the team to 3 consecutive Final Four. But not only this, because as a player, he won the championship in 2003. So everybody loves him there.
You're and like fans, don't forget.
Yeah, of course. And about the game, great job of Kevin Pato, 25 points, Justin Anderson, 18, and Jabari Parker, 15. But I think, I don't know what you think, Denise, that defense was the key. They made a great defensive effort.
Yes. They made a great defensive effort that, you know, Fenerbahce, one of my team, couldn't even score 70 points in one game. And they've been winning. They loved winning on the away games, off road games. So this game was, I think, different. So since the game before, we are seeing also Monaco game. I mean, the game before was Monaco game. There's so many games, so I'm just like, I don't want to mix it, because it was also Milan, Monaco. But it's just the same thing. But what we've seen is when they're on the offense, they don't have a purpose on attacking in some sequences. But at the same time, the defense is like they're not 100% there. So that's the struggle that what Fenerbahce is having now. The sharing the ball is not effectively no more like recently. I mean, it will be effective, of course, in the future days, but now I think it's just a bit mental and the physical tiredness. Don't you think about from Fenerbahce what we're seeing?
They're shooting 7 out of 3 of 33.
Exactly, 33.
17 turnovers for 10 assists. You know,
yes.
Like
it's so many turnovers and assist percentage is very low in these recently from Monaco game and then, of course, the Milan game, Monaco game and Barcelona game.
And how can the team react after these two bad losses? their bad losses.
Yes, team has to be together again. They have to play together again. Everyone is talking about, oh, now Fenerbahce has to get another transfer, another like a big guy or like, I don't know, like a guard. No. Well, we already signed a guard, Skylar Mace. We already have someone in our short rotation. So, but we're not using him. Shadas knows better than all of us, everybody. And so he's going to use anything on in his system. So when the hole was active, before his injury, Fenerbahce was better team. And when we're seeing Nikola Melli is not very productive on the court, it's not the same. Guduric has not been productive on the court. Same thing. We cannot wait and expect everything from Nigel Hayes-Davis, you know, at the same time, or Wade Baldwin. We have to be very powerful under the rim. We have to share the ball very well, as we used to do back in the days. But those days will come. And I think now, I don't want to talk more, but I already underlined what we should see from Fenerbahce.
Let's go to Belgrade, where Laskonia beat Maccabi. And finally, Marcus Howard played like himself. I mean, 28 points and 6 threes. Tima Moneke added 17 points, 8 rebounds. So they're back on track. And what do you think about Baskonia this year? Kind of strange.
Well, I mean, they lost at SIP Garden as well, right? Which is still kind of, I start calling it the Red Fortress, because Bayern is just seemingly unbeatable there.
Bayern is the only unbeatable team at home.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, they presented themselves so well in Munich, and they really put up a dog fight, kind of. So they weren't playing weird in Munich, but obviously they're not having the easiest season.
I want to talk about Tima Moneke's post-game interview, because he said the last week was probably the most painful loss of my career, and it's for me to blame, so we needed to do it better now. So referring to this game against Virtus, you remember where he fouled Will Clyburn almost at the buzzer, so he felt guilty about it. And as you know, this guy watches us, watches our show.
Yes, and he told all about it to Shani Blatt, our very own Shani Blatt, who was at Belgrade.
And yeah, it'll be incredible.
I thought you were going to say we were going to watch EuroLeague and Friends episode, the podcast.
I will be watching EuroLeague and Friends podcast. If you guys aren't watching it, then do a better job, okay?
Covering
rooting for
the game between Maccabi and Baskonia, and he gets... Chima Moneke to encourage everybody to start watching EuroLeague and Friends. So thank you, Chima, for this and sending beautiful work. But can I go back a little bit to Marcus Howard? Because I think it's very unusual what we're seeing with his case this year. Last year, he was a top scorer of the EuroLeague. He won the Alfonso Ford Trophy. I think he had 430 points in the total at the end of the season, and now he has less than 100, and we are at the end of the first round, which is like much of a downgrade. So I don't know what's going on. Like, how can a player who is shooting so many threes, who is so productive on the offense, goes to that? I don't know what's going on. Lena, any thoughts? Sure, Denise.
No, I just want to add one note. He wasn't shooting that well until Fenerbahce game. It was like 21 zero threes. Like he couldn't score like any threes. And then Fenerbahce games, he started with threes. So three-pointers. So, you know, like sometimes we bring luck to some players, but Marcus Howard, as you said, I agree with you. Just like I just also want to note that, like mention that. But go ahead, Milena.
No, I think maybe it's a mental aspect. I don't know.
Maybe,
I don't know. There's no explanation that I can tell you, but sometimes players need to be confident and comfortable to play at their best level. That's what I think.
Yeah, but always it happens to Fenerbahce or FS. I don't understand.
You're bringing the comfort that the players need. They feel Lisa, comfy in your games.
Lisa, tell me what happens in this arena.
Yeah.
That magic happens every time Bayern plays there.
Oh, God.
Right?
Yeah.
So we kind of have to, I guess, start from the other side, because as greatly as they're playing at home, what Vasiliki just said, they're not bringing it onto the road. They're 0-4 on the road right now.
That's true.
Which is, you know, sad for a Bayern fan for sure. And I was actually talking to someone in the organization yesterday, and he was like, yeah, but like, what do you think? The teams, the games that we lost on the road, those are teams that we traditionally lose to. Like, who do you think we are now? Just because we keep winning at home? Like, we're not the star team, remember? I'm like, oh.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, but Bayern said that they want to go to the Final Four. If you want to go to the Final
That's
Four,
true.
You need to get wins away, not just home. Home you wins are, doesn't cut it.
You are correct. You correct. Are correct. Well, to be fair, they didn't put a time label on it, so they didn't say we want to go this year, which, yeah, they should be careful about.
2027.
But maybe, you know,
Who
we'll
knows?
See. We'll wait for the year.
Yeah.
But guys, I can tell you that SAP Garden is actually what people say in Munich.
SAP
is so special. And it's a really interesting dynamic that's happening there because, you know, Bayern in the past has been struggling to fill the old arena, which captures 5,500 people. It's been really hard to sell out the old arena. And now it's like twice the size and it's sold out every single game and it's sold out into the future games already. So
and why?
I
why?
Feel...
Why do you think this is happening?
Listen, my theory about this is because in Munich, we don't have a really basketball savvy audience. People don't, you know, naturally love basketball. Unfortunately, it's all football, football, football. And then for a long time, there's nothing. But people in Munich love a great event. People in Munich love to be entertained. And that's what you're getting at SAP Garden.
A great show.
It is. It's a grand show and it's working.
I want to know if you think that they grabbed some ideas from the football team, because this is a huge club, you know?
It's definitely a huge club, and they're working very closely together, even though both organizations are separate. But for sure, they're working, especially in like the business units together, trying to make sure that everyone's just getting better and advancing, and everyone's helping with knowledge that they have. So there's definitely an exchange, but still the basketball guys have to do it by themselves. And obviously you can't win just because the football organization is doing well, right?
Can I add a question for Lisa too?
Of course. Yes, shoot.
Yeah. Lisa,
I'm
do you
scared.
Think that... No. It's not that the heart of a question. But okay, it's not just the arena. I mean, like that brings the results. Of course, it's the players and the coaching staff. Do you think that people have gained more trust in Bayern knowing what Gordon Herbert is capable of doing because of the success he had with the German national team? Is that a factor that people are keep coming to the games?
Man, it could be. There's so much coming together right now. I'm sure that this is a factor too. You know, we have obviously a couple of World Cup champions on the team too. Plus, and that's maybe another add-on to the football question, all the football players are coming to the games as well. So, you know, people are coming like, oh, maybe I can see a German national football player too. So it's like everything is just working out so well. I don't know if this is just for the moment. Obviously, I'm hoping for the organization to keep pushing because this is also what EuroLeague needs, right?
Yeah,
brands
sure.
need to advance. And that's how teams advance. And at the end, if Bayern performs better and better every year and maybe makes it to Final Four in 2027, that's just good for EuroLeague.
Yeah,
of
definitely.
Course. Okay, we need to continue and talk about Shane Larkin because he's back, Denise. And how can he affect the rest of the team, the rest of the roster, the roles of everyone there?
Yes, yes, Milena. Yesterday we were talking with you girls. So what I saw in Panathinaikos game and I watched from TV, it was completely different Anadolu Efes. You remember, Milena, we were at the same episode together and I was
yes.
talking about the rotation and the coach's decisions, coach tries, too many players and the mixing and I don't understand. But when I watched Pana game, it was less trying. Roles were more obvious. You know, players understood their own roles. Because Larkin, the captain, was on the court. He was not doing, like, extreme stuff, but he was being himself because he's such an extreme player. That's the key of how Anadolu Efes can be successful during the season, because they have a true leader, true star. We cannot call every single player of EuroLeague as stars. No, there are some specific stars. Shane Larkin is a star, and he doesn't have, as I said, he doesn't have to do extreme things because he's already an extreme player. Him being on the court, giving all the energy, dynamics of the game to the players, to his teammates, is such an incredible thing to see, even from the TV. I think all the EuroLeague fans can understand. Poirier can be very, very active under the rim. Vora is a complete different player.
There's always a leader, of course.
And I would like
There's
to
always
ask,
a leader when. Sorry, I didn't understand what you said.
In every team, there's a leader, and I would like
of
to.
Of course.
To
ask, but the leader, leader and stars, I think, two different things.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I said. Lacking 4 points, 12 assists. So do you think Vasiliki is a different Larkin now?
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. Like, Shane Larkin was even more impressive in the win against Red Star, because he had a PAR of 19 with only 4 points, because he had 4 rebounds, 12 assists, 5 steals, and 5 turnovers. But still, he was effective in so many ways. And I think I'm 100% with Denise on this one. It's very clear, crystal clear, that Shane Larkin is the leader and the main star of Anadolu Efes. No one is disputing that in or out of the team. Like, everybody understands that. And Milena, you said, like, every team has a leader, but in some points, it's not just one. And that is where some problems might arise, or some more advantage. Like, I think in the Greek teams, there are more than one leader. Like, in Olympiakos, there's Sasa Bezenkov, who is considered the big leader. But when you have Evan Fournier, with all his experience, all this stardom from the NBA and all he can offer on the court, you can say you just have one leader. Same with Panathinaikos. There is Kendrick Nunn, but there's also Kostas Loukas, who has the experience, who has won 4 EuroLeague trophies, who was the MVP of the Final Four last year. It's Matthias Lechor, who has been killing everybody in the rim, and nobody expected his career to have this trajectory. Like, in some teams, there's not just one, but Shane Larkin is definitely the alpha male in Anadolu Efes, and it's really impressive. And I think he's growing. Yeah, he doesn't care only about scoring. He cares about winning.
But when I say the players, when I say the players do what they have to do as their roles, everybody puts everything in the game, you know? Backdoor clinic. Things from Darius Thompson. We've seen 9 assists at Pana game. 12 assists by Shane Larkin. It didn't happen just out of blue, because Ercan Osmani and Elijah Bryant was waiting for those assists, for those passes to become the assists, you know? Everybody knows their role when I meant that. Milena, sorry. Go ahead.
No, don't worry. Could you, Vasiliki, compare Kendrick Nunn's influence in Panathinaikos with Sasha Zvezenkov in Olympiakos?
Nice one.
If I do that, people in Greece might start coming at me with comments. So, like, they're different, but they're also similar cases. Like, but what people can understand in Greece, and what bothers me, it's like this toxicity that there is there. They don't appreciate greatness wherever it comes from. Like, I can appreciate greatness. I can appreciate Larkin's greatness. I can appreciate, like, Kevin Patner's greatness.
Like, Sergi Yul appreciates Juan Carlos Navarro greatness.
Yeah,
tell
of
us.
Course. Yes, that's where I want to go. Like, I was amazed. Like, you all know, like, the all 25 EuroLeague voting is still going on, because EuroLeague celebrates 25 years of existence, and we need to have, like, these 25 special players that have a special place in the podium. Among the 100 nominees, like, Sergio Yul was asked, who is your favorite player? Who he said? He said, Juan Carlos Navarro. Like, a real legend, acknowledged the greatness of a FC Barcelona legend. And you know the rivalry. I can't imagine this happening in Greece. Like, because teams are so polarized.
Yeah,
even if they play together in the national team,
The players have a great relationship
between them. But sometimes
but they don't say it.
Yeah, they overthink things because they don't want to hurt the fans' feelings. No, it's real. Don't laugh about it. It's real. I'm telling you.
No, it's nice. It's very cute. It's very sensitive.
Hey, guys, maybe I can jump in quickly because mentally I'm still stuck on what Denise said. I really love that. Not every team has a star. Everyone has a leader. And I was, you know, just trying to apply that to Bayern at the moment because that's really a crucial point for them in this situation right now as well. Obviously, Shane Larkin is this media star as well. And in Bayern, we don't really have that kind of the media star, but still the star of the organization is still Vladimir Lucic, who hasn't been playing, who's still struggling to come back, who's still missing on the court, right? And so other players have to step up, and like take the lead. They have to take on a responsibility there. And obviously, those guys are on the team, right? We have the top scorer of the league right now with Carson Edwards. We have Shabazz Napier performing. We just had, we briefly touched on it, Andy Obst's record. And then, you know, they switched a little bit the role of Devin Booker as well from the five kind of to a four as well, which has been adding to the team's, you know, shooting. And the three-pointers in a big way as well. And, you know, that's kind of what they've been doing. And it's important, but I'm excited to see what happens when their star comes back.
And what do you think about the second unit, the Bayern second unit? I'm talking about Jevo, the Brankovic.
Yeah, so they've been really getting more chances in the past games, more minutes, and especially Brankovic, who has been performing pretty well against Maccabi already, defensively and offensively, as well as against Monaco in 19 minutes, which is his season high, I think, 11 points and 3 out of 4 two-pointers. So, you know, these young guys really are trying to contribute right now, and they're getting their chances as well, just the same as Kevin Yebo, who's, you know, also helping the team big time in the National League at the moment.
And no TJ, no party. I mean, without the leader and the MVP candidate, Paris couldn't make it, but Madrid win and get, and above all, they got a huge breath of air in the standings. Real Madrid, Facundo Campazzo, 90 points, 6 assists, led Madrid, but also Mario Gessoña with 17 points. Tavares, great job on the paint with 10 points, 14 rebounds. Maodolo and Nadir Rifi try hard, but I don't know, they couldn't play comfortable in transition, Denise.
Yes, I agree with you. And but Milena, when we see, okay, what I thought when I watched the Fener game and when I watched the Real Madrid Paris game, two different Real Madrid, don't you think? Like in each game, even FS game, I'm talking about Turkish teams since I'm talking, but every game is a different Real Madrid game, different Campazzo, different Hezonia. A different you. You know, it's, don't you think like that? I don't know. What do you think?
I don't know what to expect about this Real Madrid, but I'm
right.
I don't agree. I don't totally agree because I think Campazzo, Gessoña, Tavares, Dec are always there. In my opinion, also in Spanish league. Maybe I'm mixing it with Spanish league, but I think
but also they can
Denise
get
is not
into
happy.
No, I like Real Madrid. Honestly, I like Real. I can't lie.
With the answer. No.
No, I'm not. No, whatever Milena says, of course I'm happy. But because also she's right. She follows Spanish league too. But in my mind, whenever I watch the Turkish teams playing against Real Madrid, I'm seeing the Madrid. We make Madrid players to get into foul problems. And they get so mad, especially Campazzo. Especially Hezonja. When Hezonja sees Fenerbahce, end of the story. But I don't know what's going on against like Real Madrid Fenerbahce.
I would call Hezonja, it frustration. Frustration. It's called
frustration. Hezonja, Nigel Ace Davis. I don't know. But it's a different Real Madrid. But I'm expecting the same thing from what I'm expecting from Fenerbahce from Real Madrid. They're going to step up. As Lisa said, I think they're going to, some players has to also step up. They have to warm their soul when they get on the court and they have to shine more.
And that's nice.
Lisa, TJ Shorts, that was not in the game. Used to play in Germany. I think he played there for three seasons in three different teams. How was he then?
Yeah, listen, that's so interesting to observe, especially if you're looking at his crazy performance. Like, he's the star so far of this season, right? That's fair to say. And the German teams he's been playing with was Hamburg, Kreilsheim, which nobody would know, and Bonn.
What?
Those are three. Yes, Kreilsheim. Don't worry about it.
Okay, I won't. So don't try to pronounce it.
Listen, that's the point, right? It's small teams. It's low budget teams as well. And he's kind of been doing what he's doing right now. And everyone's been looking at him like, okay, this is crazy. But like, this is it. He can play like this in a low budget team where there are no expectations, where there's no pressure. But like, as soon as he will step up, like, there's a limit to what he, like, his style. And he's just been proving everyone wrong. Like, year after year, he's been leveling up. You know, he's been MVP in the Bundesliga. He's been MVP in the Champions League as well. And, you know, he's just growing and telling everyone, like, no, I'm here to freaking improve and get better every single year. So let's see where he's in 2-3 years.
Yeah, and what Lisa said, like, made something pop in my mind right now. And the comparison is very obvious. Like, Mike James started from really low as well. I think he was playing in Greece with Kolossos Rodou. I'm sure none of you might have heard the team.
No,
yeah,
I don't
know. Denise, you know, because it's super close, like from Turkey. Rodos is super close and you go there for vacation.
No.
Yeah.
From the history as well. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have been playing this very first year in a European competition they haven't played before. And this is where Baskonia saw Mike James and grabbed him and gave him a chance, really, in the big league and the EuroLeague. So, yeah, sometimes you have to start from really low and earn your position to real high. And this is how players sometimes get their respect. And I think now at this point, we're at the half of the season, like, first round is over. Everybody knows what TJ is all about and all the doubts are off their minds right
Definitely.
Now. Because they have seen
For
him.
Sure.
And even like this, they can't stop games. So
yeah. It's so beautiful to watch.
And me saying this 2 weeks before.
Yeah.
I'm like, no, Nigel. No, TJ Schwartz. Yes.
Where's Luna? Where's Luna? Luna needs to be here.
Respect.
She will appreciate listening to Denise
saying
this.
Next week, I don't know if you know, but we got a special guest.
Who?
Kai Heinz is going to join us.
Oh,
That's perfect.
Kyle is also a fan of this EuroLeague and Friends podcast.
Oh, really?
He was kind enough to retweet a tweet I made a couple of weeks ago saying we need to pay more attention to this because EuroLeague is giving voice to female reporters around the world. And this is very important because we need this. We need diversity. And EuroLeague
Bless
is giving
them.
Us this chance. So Kyle approved. And he was kind enough to show it to more people. So I think he will be great. He's great. Like, he's one of the nicest people I've ever spoken
now,
with.
Though.
Yeah.
Yes. Polite and nice. Denise, how is he?
He's very polite. No, I'm laughing still at Lisa. She's like, he has to perform. You're right. He's such a great player, but at the same time, great person. He's been always like, I mean, I consider him like that, like a big brother of the league, you know.
Yes, 100%.
Who wants to take care of these, you know, ladies that are around of the court? He's always like, hey, you good? Are you okay? So he's such a cool person, and he's a great example of an American player who can do it without being in America, and who can be a legend being in EuroLeague.
Round 18 is coming, and as Vasiliki said, it's the first of the second part of the regular season. So This is going like this so fast. Baskonia Paris is the rivalry game of the week, with Talos Peter coming back home because Vitória is like his home. Yeah. He's a legend there. And I've been reading like the Spanish press, and he said that he wants to play like in NBA faster than in Europe, in case you didn't notice. And people
in
there,
case it wasn't that obvious enough.
Yeah, he repeated. And the youngest EuroLeague coach with 39 years old, because I checked it, and Pierre-Yves Boupé is already 40. So he's already making history, this guy. So
yeah.
it's gonna be a great game.
Yeah,
really cool. By the way, I read in the German media the other day that Bayern is having their glam week in this week. First Monaco, and then a fashion a metropolis, Milan. So,
okay.
Bayern's playing glam week.
Yeah. Okay, we got a Partizan, Fenerbahce, Milan Olympiacos, Monaco FS. So many good games.
What? Yeah.
There's never a bad game. There's never a bad game, and there's never a game you can predict the outcome right now. Like, yeah. I'm watching all the games, and I'm like, who's going to win this one? And then you say, maybe this team because of that. And then you watch the game and it's the exactly opposite. And you say, am I this bad? Like, have I forgotten how this league works? Don't I know how this team plays?
Okay. Have a question for you. Okay, now you're like, you can choose wherever you want to go and watch the game, and whatever game it can be. Like, you can choose any team, any arena. So which arena you would choose and which team?
I would choose Partizan.
Same.
Yeah. I've been to a Partizan game. I've been to a Red Star game. I've been in Belgrade many times, actually. For the last 3 years, I have paid a trip to Belgrade for some reason for work. So I love it there. But I haven't watched the Serbian derby, which I would like to witness live at some point, because I think it's a very unique experience. But I would like not to work at this game. I would like to be fun.
To enjoy.
Like,
of course, you're not working.
Enjoy it.
Of course. Because there you can even listen what they're saying. So
There are so many venues I haven't visited.
Turkish Derby.
Yeah, I think
I'd love to go.
Yeah, you
but
should come.
I think now, of course, like Turkey is top of my list right now. But I also want to go to SAP Garden, because I think
I was just about to say really because you're
cool.
Coming to Munich, aren't you?
Yeah.
Okay, girls, that's all we have for now. So please don't forget the rivalry game of the week. Next round, round 18, is Baskonia Paris Basketball. You need to watch them, all the games on EuroLeague TV. And about us, please subscribe, comment, like. We will be reading you. We will be reacting. And see you next week. Adios.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you, girls.